Hello, this is Delaware State of the Arts, and with you, Guillermina Gonzalez, your host for today. And with me, we have the great fortune to have Jesse Taylor, board president of Barrel of Makers, and also board member of the Neo Wilmington Art Association. Thanks for being here with us, Jesse.
Oh, thank you for having me.
We're excited. We're excited because there's a collaboration that we need to share later on in the program. But for the time being, I think it's important for people to get a better grasp of Barrel of Makers. And if you're so kind, to refresh people's memories in terms of what the New Wilmington Art Association is all about. So shall we begin with Barrel of Makers?
Okay. Barrel of Makers is a group, a community, collaborative, creative community of people who are passionate makers of things, whether it's art, technology, or craft. And we get together to build and collaborate on giant projects, as well as to teach and learn with curious, let's call them makers-to-be. So we do classes all the time throughout the year, teaching people all of our skills that we're proud of and we love to share. And we also work with, as well as artists, we also work with tech people and craft people. New Wilmington Art Association is really about artists, helping people to have a fulfilling art career in Wilmington. So their focus, or our focus, is really to have art shows for non-traditional artists who wouldn't fit into a regular gallery. We're trying to find them places where they can show their work and be seen and possibly make sales so they can support themselves.
So the natural, there's a lot of synergy between those two organizations. And you are a clear example of that synergy because you belong to both organizations at the same time. So if you could relate to that collaboration, how would you do that? I mean, how does is that happening, actually?
There's a lot of ways when we actually, our community is working toward having a makerspace, which is like a collaborative, creative, sort of a gym. But instead of going there to work out your body, you work out your mind. And instead of sharing treadmills, you would share table saws and easels and nice studio space and woodshop tools. So we want to do that for artists because when they leave their college or their high school experience, they don't have that nice space in which to work, and they don't have access to the tools and things they need to make their art. So we would be having artists come in to use our space. And in the meantime, we do shows, and we can do that with New Wilmington Art Association to help artists find each other and find a voice in the community. Right now, we do a lot of collaboration with them by we do what's called a show and tell. Basically, if you're an artist, you would call it a critique, constructive criticism, where you bring a project that you're working on and you ask everybody, what do you think is not working here? What do you think is working? How could I make this stronger? And everyone can give feedback to everybody else. And we do that once a month. Our next one is September 28th at 1313 Innovation.
So it's a very nurturing space. You guys provide each other's feedback.
That's very important because when you leave school, you're kind of working in a vacuum, and that's not the best thing for your art, especially if you spend a long time on a piece of work. You can't really see it clearly anymore. You need a second pair of eyes.
That is true. So it provides the positive feedback that is sometimes very much needed to detach yourself from what you're actually doing.
And what's nice is that we also invite people who make other kinds of things to come to those critique nights. People who fiddle with electronics, Arduino, woodshop kind of things. Whatever you make, you can bring it and get some feedback from fresh eyes.
I'd like to talk about Wired, the collaboration between these two organizations. But before that, it got my attention, and we were talking a bit about that, you were interviewed by the New Journal not long ago talking about the difficulties of being an artist and the challenges that that brings. That was a very brave, I think, a very brave piece of interview. And what you were reflecting in there. Would you like to share a little bit of that experience and perhaps shedding light on the difficulties that an artist like you are facing at this time?
Well, I think a lot of artists and friends of mine still have a lot of debt from their college experience to become an artist and learn all the techniques and skills they need to have their voice. And so now that they're finished, they don't have a place to work, like I said, or they can't afford the fancy computer programs or the fancy computer. That's why it's nice to have a place where they can share those things together. And right now, while we don't have a space, we kind of share what we have anyway. So we're going to have a collaborative build. Everybody brings whatever tool they have mm-hmm. to one place, and we all share our tools and work together on a project, mm-hmm. which works well for now until we have a space we can leave everything out.
Mm-hmm.
But even so, we're doing that now as a group. This is share what you have, and then mm-hmm. you'll get to have more to use.
There you go. And you as an artist, how do you identify yourself? What is the thing that brings you joy and passion doing?
I like illustration. Mm-hmm. So I've always been inspired by literature. I was the only person in college taking literature classes who wasn't mm-hmm. an English major. The kids were like, what are you doing here? I'm like, well, I'm an art major, but I need something to make art about. I need to make art about things that I read, and I feel something for those things. Or I want to portray the same theme or comment on that work.
Mm-hmm.
So I still do work like that, that comes from something that I've read.
Mm-hmm.
And also just, it's nice to have collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking to work more into my art technology. I think that's the future of art. If you want to have a new, unique voice, mm-hmm. you might want to use some new technology in your art so you can convey a known theme, something that's known to all people, and kind of say, we're the same, but in a new way.
Mm-hmm. And so if I understand correctly, you are inspired by the things you read.
Mm-hmm.
So does that trigger some kind of thinking, some kind of images? How does that work? How is your creative process? How does that begin for you?
Usually with metaphor. So if I read something and I like the theme of it, mm-hmm. I think, how can I convey this in one image as opposed to in a whole book or a whole short story? Mm-hmm. How do I convey this same theme with a simple image? So with a hand gesture, I like paint hands a lot because they are mm-hmm. very expressive. Mm-hmm. Usually if you want to convey an emotion or something about someone, mm-hmm. you would use their face, but hands can convey a lot. Mm-hmm. So I like to paint that because it's different. And because hands have no eyes, and eyes are scary to paint. But I'm an oil painter, so that's what I usually do. I do acrylics when I have to get a project done fast.
But there you go.
They're not as nice as oil painting. And my work is surrealist, so okay. I'm trying to convey something that you can't take a picture of. So I usually take several pictures and mush them together on Photoshop, mm-hmm. and then I paint that as if it could really happen, mm-hmm. but it can't.
Well, you were talking, an image came to my mind, and I'm sure you've seen Rodin's Hand of God
mm-hmm.
in the Rodin Museum in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Isn't that one of the most excellent, magnificent pieces of work you've seen in terms of sculpture, don't you think? I mean, talking about hands.
And sculpture is a great way to start drawing, too. Even just going around and drawing sculpture around where you live, such a uh-huh. good way to do it, because they don't move. I also like to go and draw at the Natural History Museum.
Okay.
Because the animals don't move.
that's a good point. So it's challenging from your perspective, going back to the article that I'm alluding to, these days to be an artist without making ends meet.
Right. I do like waitressing because it allows me, if I have a client for illustration, you know, mm-hmm. I need to do an illustration of an article, or I've done illustrations for people who do voice acting and they mm-hmm. need an illustration for their mailer, for their promotional mm-hmm. materials.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a deadline, I can move my schedule around. I can have someone cover for me. Whereas right. if I had a regular job, I can't really have somebody cover my
shift.
You can't
do the 9-to-5 type of thing. You right. need more flexibility than
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And I like it because it's a good balance for being in the studio alone all day mm-hmm. working on my art, and then I get to come out and be social with my customers and
right.
have a good time. But it's, you can't go so high in waitressing. You can only make so much money. And
right.
there's
it
that.
It is a challenging time. And sometimes it's really sad to see the people struggling, because artists bring a lot to a community. They reflect the soul of that particular community. So not allowing individuals, not for whatever the reason that might be, is kind of sad in occasions, don't you think?
Yes. I especially feel sad for the people. I'm very fortunate that I don't have debt from college.
Mm-hmm.
I was just born lucky. But a lot of people I know still have that, and that prevents them mm-hmm. from not having the full-time job and working on their art while they're very talented artists. And my friend Brian Scatasti is a very talented cartoonist,
mm-hmm.
and he can make a living doing that, but he really can't afford to invest the time away mm-hmm. from a full-time job. to work on his promotional materials and to create a website and everything, because he has to pay those bills.
Right.
So he can't
take
some time
off. You have to pay
those
bills. There's nothing else you can do but paying those bills.
So he feels pretty trapped. And that's something that the NWAA and Barrel of Makers really want to help people not to feel trapped, but to feel empowered, and that they can make a living from their passion.
And they seem to be organizations that bring together young artists like you. Do you have like an age bracket, or that is not necessarily the case?
It's very diverse. And also when we do workshops with children, we also encourage them to put their work they created in the workshop into art shows that we have, or you know, enter them in the juried show. So I don't think we have an age. And actually, a lot of people we have in our group are more empty nesters, because they have more time to contribute to the group.
Okay.
So people who are retired, and also they have more skills to share, because they've had a whole lifetime to garner their skills. So they know their way around a woodshop, and they know their way around a paintbrush. So they have more they can share with
people.
It's more
holistic. There you go. Let me re-engage with the audience to let them know that you're listening to Delaware State of the Arts News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. We have with us today Jesse Taylor, board president of Barrel of Makers and also board member of the New Wilmington Art Association. Welcoming you again to the show, Jesse. Thank you for having the time. And maybe it's about time to talk about Wired. It's an exhibition that an intersection of art and technology, a collaboration about between those two organizations. Would you like to speak to that?
Yes. So I've helped NWA put together a show before, but this is the first one that they've done with Barrel of Makers. And Barrel of Makers has people in it who don't do art necessarily. They fiddle around with electronics. But this way they get to show their work in an art gallery setting, which is great. It's very empowering. They feel very proud. Oh, my art. You know, not even what they considered art, but it's on the wall and they can talk about it with people and feel good about that. And I think a lot of the pride of making something yourself is showing it off. So we think that's very important. It also gave us the opportunity to do a larger project by working together. So we have members from NWAA, members from Barrel of Makers, working together on this collaborative giant light bright that we're making.
Okay.
So that involved a lot of woodshop time.
I imagine it sounds like complicated.
And also involved the electronics people, because they have to wire these giant light boxes together so that it will all work. And it's also an art piece. It's a collaborative art piece. So once you have it installed October 3rd in the gallery, anyone who comes in the gallery can participate in the art by making a design on the light bright and adding it. It's almost a light bright quilt, if you will, where everyone does a square of the quilt and then adds it to the piece. And once you add it to the giant light bright, it will glow. So at the end of the opening or at the end of a festival, you have everybody who's come in through the doors, everyone who's passed by has their artwork on there, and you can see the progression through the time and see sort of the footprint of everybody who came in, which I think is very nice. So it's not complete until everybody works on it when it's installed. But we had a fun time building it.
It's a work in progress. That sounds very, very interesting and intriguing.
The challenge of Wired also is for artists to think about technology, to maybe make a piece of art that comments on technology today, or to possibly find a collaborator from Barrel of Makers. We have a large meetup.com population of people who say, you know, what they like to do. You can find them and say, hey, I'm an artist. I know how to do X, Y, and Z. Could you help me out with something else that I don't know how to do, and we can make a project together? And usually people are happy to do that. That's why they got involved in the first place, because they wanted to do collaborative work and opened up new horizons to their own work.
There you go. It's opening up horizons to a new kind of work.
Exactly.
There you go. Now, that makes me go back to Barrel of Makers. Why the name?
That name came from a long time thinking of names, and at the end of the list, and we were just, sometimes the best ideas come when you've exhausted all of the normal ideas.
By elimination, almost.
They always told me that in school, you know, you do your 50 roughs, and maybe 51 is the good one, because you have to get everything out of your system that's so normal. And that came from Barrel of Monkeys. We wanted the name to be nostalgic and quirky. So it reminds people of Barrel of Monkeys, which is a game, but instead of monkeys, we make things. But we're just as fun, more fun than a barrel of monkeys, definitely. Barrel
and the organization, that sounds intriguing too, I have to say. That made me think about why Barrel of Makers? Because in occasions, you name something after the mission, after something that provides some kind of clarity, if you will. But that is intriguing enough to ask the why.
That's also why we thought it was a good idea, because it makes people ask about the name. Like, oh, what is Barrel of Makers? What does that mean? Mm-hmm. And then we can explain to them about how we're a maker community. So it had to have the word maker in it. And people were going to ask about that anyway, because maker is kind of a term that's sort of out there anyway, because it means so many things. It means art. It means tech. It means craft. Mm-hmm. It can mean
so
anything that you create.
So you selected intentionally the name to be eclectic.
Our tagline is kind of DIY Delaware.
Uh-huh.
Which we thought of that first. We probably would have used that name if we thought of it before. But that's sort of a good tagline. And Barrel of Makers is good for intriguing people. That's exactly why we selected it. So people would have
and
to
And I think
ask.
It's doing it. It's really making the trick, at least for me right now. In any event, for how long has the organization been in existence?
We've been public for about 2 years. What we've done in those 2 years, we had an interest meeting a couple of years ago in September. Mm-hmm. And we said, we want to work to make a makerspace. And several people came to the library. We talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, okay, yeah, we want to make a makerspace eventually. But for right now, we have all these skills in this one room. Let's teach workshops. Let's do classes.
Mm-hmm.
So since then, we've been doing classes both for kids and adults that empower them to not be afraid of electronics and technology. Mm-hmm. So we kind of sneak those things into an arts and crafts project. So that way people can try out things that are STEM related, the science, technology, engineering, and math.
Mm-hmm.
But we add an A in there, so it's like STEAM.
Well, yes. For the arts are clearly included.
It seems really important for making people comfortable with those things.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really start with a circuit board and not know anything. But you can start with a small version of that where you do a drawing and your drawing makes a sound because it uses a resistor. And then you help. That helps you understand it, and you can move on to bigger things if you like it.
So you've been doing a lot of things for a two-year-old organization. It sounds like you're getting the traction that you want. How do you see this organization moving forward? And I'm talking about Barrel of Makers, and let's talk about the New Wilmington Art Association later on. But let's go to Barrel of Makers.
We do a lot of things for being a young organization and for having a small capacity.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of key volunteers who are really passionate. And they are ready to have a space where we can do classes in the space. Right now, we hop around to libraries and parks and different community centers.
Mm-hmm.
We worked with FAME, Formed Mental Minorities in Engineering. We've done all those things, but it'd be nice to have a space where we can have a regular schedule of programs that we can control. We can add some in when they're popular. And they're ready to devote, you know, one day a week per person or so to doing classes there. So we're moving toward getting a space in Wilmington by January where we can start having a small class schedule, a couple classes a week. And toward having a workshop in the back where we can begin to have our wood shop that people can come in, trained how to use on the machines, and then work there.
There you go. When it comes to the New Wilmington Art Association, how do you see the organization evolving?
We have just begun with these two, I guess, Wired and one other show last year. But now, this moving forward this year, we can have four shows a year. So we're going to do one a quarter.
Okay.
And spend our time promoting those and making sure that good work gets into all of them. So we do have places also. That's finding the where we're going to do shows was hard. The original NWAA did shows on Market Street in the vacant properties there. But now Market Street's a lot more happening than it used to be.
Indeed.
A lot of it is beautiful. They've done a lot of work on the facades. So people are buying those properties and they need them to show. So now we have to do a little bit more work finding places for our first Friday shows.
So that'll
but
be
we
an
have
objective
it.
Of yours.
But yeah, you can look for our RFPs. We'll be doing one every quarter now.
There you go. And when it comes to future collaborations for both organizations, have you envisioned, guys, how to move forward on that front? Or do you have something that you're thinking, planning?
I think we do plan to keep at least the one show that we're doing this season in October, we're probably going to keep that fall show a collaborative show between the two groups. Okay. So we always have a tech show every year.
Okay. Well, that's clear enough.
Mm-hmm. So far.
So far, so good. And when it comes to Jesse the artist, mm-hmm. what's for you in the near future?
Yeah, I had told the reporter that I get to paint once a week, and that's probably a stretch. That was being optimistic. I don't paint that much, but I just need to actually put that forward. Now that Barrel Makers is going very well, and I think as we expand into a space, mm-hmm. more people will come forward, so we'll get more and more volunteers. We always look for people who want to work on curriculum mm-hmm. and who want to teach the class or help with the class. As we do that, and also as we have a space, I should be able to take time to work in the space as mm-hmm. well as at home, I hope. So I want to be an example of the success of that community, there for sure. Go. So I don't want to end up not doing any of my own work because right. that wouldn't be the point.
That's right.
But it's hard, so.
It's a challenge. Now, do you want to share maybe websites of both organizations so people get in contact with you guys?
They're both .org websites. So it's the NWAA, all one word, .org, mm-hmm. and is Barrel of Makers, all one word, .org.
There you go. And do you have a site for yourself?
JessieSpencer.com, because Jesse Taylor's already taken. There's so many of those. Jesse Spencer is my middle name, but it's J-E-S-S-I, Spencer.com. Which I need to update as well. And yeah. haven't had time.
Yeah, because
to
she's
update.
Getting married, for those who were thinking, she's busy on top of many different things. So, in the time that is left, Jesse, I just want to thank you for your time today and representing very well two organizations that we love see them collaborating in Wired, an exhibition on the intersection of art and technology. And with that, I have to unfortunately say, see you later and goodbye. And thanks again for your time.